Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another important episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find all the information at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, let's just get, pun intended, off to the races. And as this story is very much developing, I think we can just kind of talk about the situation in Boston, because anything we probably put on the record right now, when you guys are watching this 24 hours or less later, the stories will probably have changed again. So, James, essentially what we know is Monday, April 15th, tax day, the beginning of what is always the deadliest week in America for some strange reason in April. Bombs went off at the Boston Marathon, and two different bombs went off 13 seconds apart. And ever since that moment, of course, it's been wall-to-wall news coverage. It went from all the right-wing talking heads all Monday. All they said was Saudi National, Saudi National, Saudi National. And it was funny yesterday, being now that I do work in a newsroom, and James, we will have to have that conversation about the news at another time, because I think that's worth having about the very things that we digest. But it was interesting being in the newsroom yesterday when the news broke that the Saudi National was no longer the person of interest. We wondered if some of the right-wing radio hosts would, you know, backtrack or say, oh, wow, it's not the Saudi National. And we turned one of them on and they said, so in North Korea, it was like, yeah, that's what I thought you'd switch the subject back to. Ultimately, James, and this is, again, I asked this question to people in the newsroom yesterday. So basically, we don't know anything, essentially, about the Boston bombings. The only things we learned yesterday were pressure cookers and no more person of interest. However, today, Twitter is on fire as all kinds of photos have been going around. There's questions about whether or not Anonymous actually found the backpack bombers. There are a ton of photos, and of course you get the whole realm of the kind of diseased conspiracy mind that gets into crisis actors and all the other sort of ridiculous things where, James, as I kind of said in some of the show notes for Ground Zero last night, if they can get you asking the wrong questions, they don't care about what the answers are. So you are many, 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 many thousands of miles away from this. What's your take on the Boston bombings, James?
Well, you're right. I mean, first, let's once again stress that we are recording this at 6:30 a.m. here in Japan. So that would be 5:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. So whatever we say is going to be dated. But absolutely, I think people who haven't checked out those photos that have been circulating that were, I guess, on 4chan and are hosted on Imgur, I hope people will check them out, because there's been just a ton of work that's been done, basically crowdsourcing the type of investigation that the police should be doing, I suppose, if they were actually there doing their job to the proper degree. And it's quite amazing how much work has already been done by just the general public on this. And some of the key images include some people that are seeming to source back or look like Navy SEALs. Again, people will have to take a look at that for themselves and start going into that, and we'll put in some links that talk about that. But just absolutely incredible work that's been done on that already. So that's quite interesting. And then as I was going to bed here in Japan about 3 hours ago, because that's about how much sleep I get, there was a breaking story on CNN that they had arrested someone and they had someone in custody. And I wake up this morning and suddenly no one's in custody, but they're seeking someone. So I don't know what's going on with regards to that. And I don't know if they just went with a false narrative there or someone jumped the script or whatever happened, but I'm sure that this will sort itself out in the next day or two, and they will start to come down with their official patsies or narratives and all of that, and we'll have to examine it when and if it comes. But again, it's interesting to take a look at the ways that this type of work is increasingly being crowdsourced, and with social media and things putting evidence directly out into the Twitter sphere and all of that directly and immediately, it does create the possibility that everyone out there can become part of an investigation, which is interesting, slightly, could be a good thing and could be a very bad thing, depending on how it all works out and what really comes of this. So at any rate, I hope people are keeping their eye on it. And again, I'm sure that it will have moved light years ahead by the time this is actually posted.
James, and I would say too that all the news agencies retracted that there was an arrest made. The latest I've also seen is that they were about to have a press conference about the bombing, and then it got a bomb threat and they canceled it and completely cleared the courthouse. So it's just a complete mess going on. But it's worth noting, and again, kind of putting on the record, that yes, there were seemingly concurrent drills going on at the same time of some of the Boston bomb squads running drills. And you have runners saying, yeah, there absolutely was a drill. They were telling me, keep running, don't worry, it's just a drill. There's the reports of the multiple bombs found. So all those kind of questions. And James, I would worry that, and I made this analogy after Sandy Hook, that of course, a couple days before Sandy Hook, we had the Clackamas Town Center shooting in Oregon. Which again was only, I believe, two killed, not to diminish any of this. But the body count was low. And I compared it in a way to the first tower being hit in 9/11, that the first event gets everyone's attention and everyone is completely fixated mentally and emotionally and spiritually on this. And then a couple of days later, they deliver the knockout blow, whether that's the second plane hitting the tower or whether that's Sandy Hook. I'm definitely keeping an eye open for this Friday, the 19th and 20th, as those really are the key days as we're in this sort of America blows a gasket the third week of every April, and we've got Waco and Columbine and Oklahoma City and Virginia Tech and the Deepwater Horizon Massacre and Patriots Day and Hitler and on and on and on. So I worry that this might have been the first event to get all our attention and to get all of us emotionally connected to it. Then they deliver the knockout PTSD psychological trauma punch. The note, James, you said about the crowdsourcing is interesting, but yeah, my devil's advocate take on that is so we're in charge of our own panopticon now? Awesome. I was waiting for that day that, you know, we're running our own prison and doing work that now the cops go, oh, good, we don't even have to do that work because you guys are all arresting each other. So that's, James, that's my devil's advocate take. And that's all we'll say about it right now. However, we have been following it on Ground Zero, and I'll include some of those links as well. We had pretty much did the whole night, Monday night, with Jack Blood, which I think was a great way to kind of put it all on the record. So let's take a deep breath and, James, look at a couple of other stories that will just kind of say, while everybody was paying attention to the Boston bombings, meanwhile, James, federal employee financial disclosures to remain offline. You can get it from the Washington Post, Washington Times, and all around the world. President Obama signed into law a bill reversing a requirement enacted in April of 2012, but never carried out, that federal agencies post online the financial disclosure forms of some 28,000 of their employees. Congress last week took up and quickly passed the bill just before the latest in a series of delays that the requirement was set to expire this past Monday. Both the House and the Senate accepted the bill without debate or objection. The measure, in effect, repeals a provision of the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act, or STOCK Act, which mainly addressed conflict of interest policies affecting members of Congress and their staff. So essentially, Obama rolling back what little fake lip service he ever kind of gave for transparency, James. And it's inescapable. That was another thought I had about the Boston bombings, is what if it was a sort of Die Hard with a Vengeance scenario where all these bombs are going off and you're all running around chasing it. Meanwhile, gold was at a 30-year low and a lot of financial moves going on around the world. James?
Yeah, that's exactly, in fact, what I was going to suggest. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we could take a look at as a while you were looking at Boston type of thing. And definitely what happened in the gold markets would be one of them. That was a truly incredible event that took place over a couple of days there. And there's still some very interesting things happening on the markets right now, even when we look at the bought and paid for, rigged and jiggered stock markets. So there's a lot that's happening financially. And also, I mean, we could look at events like the bombings that took place in Iraq just days before their election there and killed 55 people in one day. and that happened at the same time as the Boston bombing that killed three people. So again, it's always a question of perspective, and there's a ton of stuff going on. But I understand we also have another story on the SOPA CISPA front.
So I guess, and again, all these things are kind of ongoing right now, but it's looking like CISPA is essentially going to pass. And we've got a piece from The Economist about SOPA and CISPA. And James, is this just kind of another case where essentially, again, you're talking about online surveillance as getting rid of any last vestige or thought or whiff of there being any kind of privacy online?
Well, if not getting rid of the final vestiges of it, at the very least, it does go further towards giving the United States government more access to information and easier access to information, which should be worrying for people because for a lot of different reasons. But also, we've talked in the past about the six strikes thing that's coming in where the ISPs are going to be monitoring your traffic directly and sending you warnings if you try to download illegal activity, or if they say that you're trying to access files illegally, or however they define that. And from what I've seen, I was just looking at Adam Kokesh's YouTube, and he's posting something that he got from Verizon, apparently some kind of copyright warning. So I guess the six strikes is already underway, and I'm not seeing a lot of about that in the tech dirt / ISP or IP / ISP media universe, but it's there and it's happening right now. So again, that's something that we need to keep our eye on, and I hope people will take a look at my recent podcast episode on how to defeat CISPA. And the hint for that is that it doesn't involve the internet as we know it. It involves creating a different system, which would be impervious to government censorship. But again, I really hope people will check into that.
Well, and on the first note, James, of while we were watching Boston, we talked last week about, gosh, there seems to be a lot of gold selling action going on in the world markets and the central banksters around the world. I think as long as we're mentioning our Congress critters here in the States, I think they did also just shoot down, again, this is breaking news, the massive gun database deal, I think, just now got shot down. So there's always a lot of things always going on while the magician gets our attention to look away. Our third and final story this week, James, is again another kind of batch of news stories where, again, if you weren't watching CNN or watching corporate controlled news and actually getting your news from all around the world and all around the web, there is a flurry of earthquake activity. And we'll start from foreignpolicy.com. A lot of you, if you hit this link, you may get the paywall, but you can find it elsewhere as well. Maps showing the epicenter of a quake missing Iran's nuclear sites. Amid conflicting reports about the number of deaths caused by a massive 7.8 magnitude earthquake that struck Iran on Tuesday, a map of the country's nuclear-related facilities showed that the sensitive structures are not located near the epicenter of the quake in southeastern Iran near the border of Pakistan. However, given the magnitude of the quake, which swayed tall buildings as far away as New Delhi, it's not clear yet if the regime's nuclear facilities actually escaped the damage. But that's not all. There was a 6.6 quake in Papua New Guinea. No reports, fortunately, of serious damage or injury. James, you guys had a strong quake in Japan last Saturday, April 13th, a strong 6.3 quake, and they're even expecting aftershocks for about a week. And so I think in light of that, I'll hand the rest of it over to you, because that quake sent different kinds of shockwaves, did it not?
Well, I believe so. I don't know specifically about the shockwaves, but I do know that, I suppose if you're talking about metaphorical shockwaves.
Yes.
Yes, my wife and I were awoken the last Saturday morning by the quake itself. And in fact, we were actually, I suppose, awoken by my cell phone, which started making a strange booping noise that I'd never heard before. And I look at my phone and there's a message in Japanese, something about an earthquake, and suddenly the room starts shaking. So that was an interesting aspect of this. Apparently, since the last time there's been a major earthquake, at least in our part of Japan, the cell phone companies have instituted some sort of early warning system. I guess they're in touch with the Japanese equivalent of the USGS in order to implement that, or however that works. But it is that was an interesting aspect of this, and on the Japan Today thread on the story, that was the number one aspect of this. Everyone was talking about, I didn't know my cell phone could do that. So on the note of, I didn't know my cell phone could do that, also apparently in the confusion surrounding the earthquake, there was a Japanese official that accidentally emailed out an "we were just hit by a missile" email instead of the "we just had a big earthquake" email. So apparently there is a bit of confusion that took place in the immediate aftermath of that. But on the note of the earthquakes itself, we are definitely in a period of instability right now. Not only the Iran earthquake, not only earthquakes here in Japan, another earthquake in Papua New Guinea. So there's definitely some instability, and apparently this has been foreseen by some people, including Piers Corbin, who people might be familiar with of weatheraction.com, who does predict this type of thing based on solar activities. And he issued a red warning, a red alert warning for April, that included some specific predictions about M5.7 plus magnitude earthquakes around the Pacific Rim, etc. So we'll include a link to that red alert warning so people could take a look at that. But again, there's definitely something happening right now. We're definitely in a period of increased seismic instability, so I'm definitely on the lookout here in Japan, and people should be on the lookout around the world, as the Iran earthquake seems to have missed the Iranian nuclear sites this time, but who's to say what will happen next time?
So, James, yes, just so last week we essentially had the largest solar flare that we've had so far this year, and it, I think, wreaked a lot of havoc. We had a ton of technical difficulties on Ground Zero last Thursday, Friday, and I'm only now wondering, maybe that's the thing that's making my camera act all wacky. Maybe it got zapped. But it's an interesting question, and this is maybe where we'll have to leave it this week. Back to Boston. The stories come out and say, oh yeah, maybe we had to shut down cell service afterwards. Which reminds me, you know, the story when, you know, Janet Jackson and the wardrobe malfunction, TiVo comes out and says, well, that was our most rewound story ever. Oh, you're watching and tracking and tracing and databasing everything we do. Oh, you are. So when that story comes out, you go, oh, so you do have a kill switch. So you can kill our cell traffic. You can probably do the kill switch on the internet. So a lot of things, I think, to kind of keep your mind on. And I think, James, again, I definitely feel it a little more closer here in the States, that people let the news manipulate their emotions and let it all just run roughshod over them, and they don't really, their critical thinking switches kind of go off, and they get emotionally involved in so much of this. As my positive note, James, that I'm going to go out on to tell people, this Saturday is something called Record Store Day that gets people to go out to their independent record store to buy music. And that, to me, is something, as the world gets crappier and worse, I find that I just not retreat back to music, which is what my background is. But I find, you know, it brings that much more kind of pleasure and life-affirming joy to my life. So let's not get bogged down in the death and destruction. And remember that we're only doing this so that we can have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. James, I'm getting off my soapbox.
Well, there are things worth living for, and I hope people will keep that in mind. So happy Record Store Day, and let's all just stay safe out there and keep your eyes open. So until next week, James, thanks again for three great stories.
Thanks so much. Take care.